I just want to say that next two Sundays, we're going to spend time talking about Thanksgiving and giving thanks. I'm going to invite you, like I have for the last 3 years. I'll have a sermon, but I'm going to invite you to give thanks the next two Sundays for something unique or something that's common to everybody. And so be thinking about that over the next couple of weeks. I'm thankful that you're here today. From the places that you have been, military personnel home on leave, and people that have been across to the old country in the last week, and people visiting from other states, and you that are here every week, I'm just thankful for all of you today. We are going to look again at what is happening to America. This is part four. The subtitle today is The End of Time. We've looked at this for, I guess, a month. We've looked at different scripture, and I've pointed to different scripture relating to what has happened, what is said in scripture, and what may be happening, and whys of what's happening in America today. I've shown you from several different places over the last month different things, and we're going to look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 again today. And I know I have referred to that scripture before, but I think it fits very well here today with what I've been talking about for the last month. There are many, many good scriptures that remind us of what has happened in the past to some of God's people. I think many of those scriptures remind us of what's happening today. And I've chosen 2 Timothy 3 again today because Paul starts out with that statement by saying, in the last days. And so my question today is, as I've talked about this what is happening to America topic, my question today is, are we at the end of time? Lots of pastors over lots of years have said, I'm going to see it in my generation. The Lord's going to return. It's going to be over. Well, lots of people have picked dates. Those dates have come and gone, and we're still here. But as you look at Scripture, you certainly see some things that point to the end of time. And so I'm going to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 today. And I'm going to remind us again what Paul said it will look like in the end times. Now I know that God is the only one that knows when the Lord Jesus is going to return. Jesus himself said that. But the Bible is very clear. He will return. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to return. He's going to take his church to be with him forever. I'm not talking about a sign on a billboard either, or the name of some denomination. I'm talking about people that have surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord. He's going to take his church with him to be with him forever. That time is coming. It could even be today. It could be a long time from now, because God is outside of time. But let me just show you some things in 2 Timothy to remind us again. Could we be at the very edge of the end of time? Paul said this. Have you got your Bibles this morning? I hope you do. It'll be on the big screen, but I hope you've got your Bibles. It's good for us to follow along in our Bibles. As I've said before, don't take my word for it. Take the word. And so I'm in 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm reading verses 1 through 5. Paul writes, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. I've told you this over and over, I don't get Fox, ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, all that stuff. I don't see that news, but I know what the news says. And all you have to do is look at the news or listen to the news for a few minutes and you know we're in difficult times. In America and around the globe. I learned just last night from Pastor Les when we were here at prayer time. His niece sent him a Facebook message yesterday. She is acquainted with a Nazarene pastor in the Middle East that was taken hostage this week. We are in perilous times. It's not to say we haven't been in perilous times before, because humanity has been. But we are in perilous times. When you see what's happening to the persecuted church around the globe, North Korea Christians, Central Africa, Syria, Iraq, and all over the globe, you see what's happening to Christians, and you say, Jim, yeah, but that's been happening ever since the time of Jesus. You're right. But with each generation, with each century, that persecution is ramped up, and more and more and more people are dying just because they're Christians. And so when Paul writes, know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, I think we all see perilous times around us. Difficulties, challenge, tragedy, sexual immorality of every kind, murder and mayhem at every corner of life. But then he breaks it down for us. And Paul writes, and I put in my sermon notes, I put it in bullet points because I want to read one at a time. There's 18 characteristics. Paul writes there's 18 characteristics of what people will be like at the end. Here they go. Here we go. For men will be lovers of themselves. And as I read these 18, you just watch on the big screen, watch in your Bible, or think. Think, does that relate in any way, shape, or form today? Paul writes, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. 18 characteristics of what humanity will be like, Paul said, in the end. I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but when I consider those 18 characteristics and see what I see and read what I read and hear what I hear, I fear that they're all very prevalent today, every one of them. And we could spend time looking at every one of them, but we don't need to. You know what they mean. I could give examples of every one of them, every one of these negative traits. Those examples could come from the nightly news, or the internet, or government, or the church. They could come from any one of them. We have arrived at these places, and I'm not saying that we are at the very end, but we could be. We could be at the very end of time, because Paul said, in the end, there will be perilous times. And he lists these 18 characteristics, and when we think about it just a little bit, we see every one of them. Every one of these 18 characteristics in every level of American people, from the church people to business people to professional people to government people. But I want to focus on three this morning just for a few minutes. And I want us to ask ourselves if we might consider for a moment these three, just three that I'm going to look at, if we might consider whether or not they are true of this time. And also, whether or not they are true of the church, tragically enough. And lastly, I want us to consider whether or not it is true of me. you, us. And so we could pick a lot of them. We could pick brutal, and we could consider the nightly news and think, boy, oh boy. We could pick despisers of good, and we could have discussion about that, but I've picked three others. I've started with the very first one that Paul started with when he said, in the end time, people will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of ourselves. And friends, I don't have to explain to you, you know already, whether it is professional athletes bragging about how good they are, or movie stars, or politicians, or even pastors. You see what I see, you hear what I hear. We find ourselves in America worshiping at the altar of self. Am I right? We find ourselves so hung up on me today in America. Just like Paul said we would get to at some point. Where humanity is so in love with ourselves, it's hard for us to see anything else. There's nothing wrong with being humbly thankful of what God has blessed you with. There's nothing wrong with that. But what we see in society today is anything but humble thankfulness. On rare occasion, we see that. Today's motto seems to be all about self, my accomplishments, and my comfort, and my joy, and my needs, and my salvation, even the church. Let God figure out somebody else. Today's motto seems to be all about me. From the church house to the White House. And we in the church are just as guilty, I fear, as the rest of society who doesn't even know anything about this scripture. I said to you a week or two ago, God has blessed us in this nation like no other nation on earth. I thank God for the opportunity to live in this nation. I thank God for the freedoms. I thank God that we can pick and choose where so many people around the globe, they've got nothing like we got. I'm so thankful for that. But I fear, like I said a couple weeks ago, somehow we've arrived at this thought process. We have all this because of something we have done. And I asked us a couple of weeks ago, where do we think the abilities and our blessings and our strength and our wherewithals, where do we think that's come from? It's come from the living God. And so I fear that we find ourselves, whether we are in the very end time or not, I fear we find ourselves in this trap of being lovers of ourselves. I'm not sure if we're in this trap because it's prophecy predicted, or we just fell for it. But we fell for it. All of society has fallen for lovers of ourselves. It's a reality, whether it's just prophecy lived out, or whether we fell for it, it's a reality. Point number two, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Because we live lives that seemingly revolve around us, revolve around me, that it becomes a given in our society that we have become lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. I wish I could give you some statistics. I didn't take the time to look up statistics of how much money is spent on a yearly basis on entertainment. I'm not opposed to entertainment. But it's out of balance. Whether it's professional sports or the entertainment industry of TV and internet, or, God forbid, pornography, we call that entertainment. Or gambling, we call that entertainment, and people are there throwing away their last nickel while their children are hungry at home. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. We've arrived. The entertainment industry today is booming all over our nation because we want to amuse ourselves. We want to entertain ourselves. I like to take it easy once in a while and entertain myself too. And I'm not talking about things in balance, but we're out of balance. We rationalize, I deserve this. And some of it we do. But when our time and our talents and our resources are going more towards amusing myself or ourselves rather than to the kingdom of God, for example, we have become out of balance. Just like Paul said, we have become lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, even in the church house. I wouldn't even bring this topic up if it were not for the words of Jesus that said, if you're going to be my follower, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow. Those are the words of Jesus. If you're going to be my follower, Jim, church people, then deny yourself daily, take up your cross, and follow. If our minds and our schedules and our genders are so full of how I please me, how in the world are we going to follow Jesus? Number three, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Notice any examples of that lately from the White House to the church house? I'm not excusing the church house here either, friends. We in the church house have an obligation to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. That's what God has called us to do. Having a form of godliness isn't going to get it done on Judgment Day when we don't know the power of the godliness. And Paul said, there's going to come a time when we've got this look about us. We've got this vocabulary, or we've got this approach that we have this form of godliness, but we don't know anything about its power, the power of Christ. Oh, we say we know about God, sure enough, but it's going to need to be more than that to be transformed by the Son of God than just knowing about God. And so I just wonder today, friends, when I think about what's happened to America, and I've told you about the headlines, and I've read from you excerpts of pastors of very large churches, I just wonder when I read these 18 characteristics, how do we fall into these traps? When we know it's going to happen, the Bible said it's going to, how do we fall into them? Why do we fall into them? Why do we fall into the trap of being unthankful? With an expectation that I should just have this. Why do we fall into the trap of being unholy? Or lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God? Maybe it's just prophecy being lived out. Do you suppose? Maybe it's just prophecy. Well, the preacher of the Bible said it's going to happen, so I guess it's just going to happen. Maybe it's just prophecy lived out. Or maybe in the church we have a responsibility to be all we can be for the Master. Maybe in the church, as I mentioned from Moses' writings a couple of weeks ago, maybe in the church we've forgotten at whose hand we've received all these blessings. Forgotten to be thankful. Maybe, as I said a month ago when I talked about falling away, maybe that's just prophecy being lived out too, but maybe it's because we have allowed the world to mold us and to fashion us and to lead us in our thinking rather than the Word of God. I don't know, when I see all these 18 characteristics lived out, I think we might be pretty close to the end. But I also know that God is outside of time. And so I don't know what the end means to God, other than Jesus said that the end will be just like the time of Noah when they're eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage and not paying any attention to anything, and all of a sudden, boom, the flood was upon them. That's what Jesus said the end will come like. And so I don't know exactly why all these things are happening in America, friends, that I've mentioned and we see, but I'm sure of this, God's people have a responsibility to be faithful to Him, to pray, to seek His face, to tell others about Jesus, and to be ready if He should come tonight. And so I'm going to end this series on that note. If He should come tonight, have you made preparations? Are you going to go home to be with Him? I've talked about a lot of things over the last 2 months. Holiness lived out. When I reminded us from Hebrews 12:14, without holiness, no one's going to see God. I've reminded us what Jesus said to the religious Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. I've reminded us what Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God, but him who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And so I just want to ask us, friends, if He should come tonight, if we're that close, have you made preparations with faith in Christ?